This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Yes, it is time for a podcast. Jerry Recco is out today. I did the warm-up show with one Mr. CeeLo. The post-game podcast I do with one Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, Eddie Scazzeri.
Hello, podcast people.
Hello, podcast people. And I guess Boomer's not around. There was some discussion at the end of the program today. I invited you and Boomer onto the podcast to... Boomer thinks that there are a number of political topics that you and he agree on, and he wanted to go over those. I guess he was going to work on that. He was going to go back to his office and see which topics. I cannot think of any off the top of my head that you guys would agree on. Do you know of any that he might have been referring to?
Yes, in one of the breaks, I was treated to a discourse from Boomer about several topics. Gay marriage, we agree on. We both support a gay marriage.
Okay, that's a starting point. I call that a starting point for you guys.
Oh, there's a lot of common ground.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, also we both grew up in this area, which is maybe more diverse than other areas of the country. Mm-hmm. So we have maybe more experience with other peoples, other cultures than some other people have the opportunity to be.
Right.
So maybe that sort of broadens our world look a little bit. We're both pro-choice.
Okay.
Now, you know, late-term abortions, you know, that's a tricky one. You know, so I'll put, you know, most likely agree with him on that. Not 100%, but... And then he went into union pensions. I was like, dude, I have no...
Too deep.
I don't have any... You know, I'd have to study it and to look at it and look at the numbers. And I have no interest in doing that.
Right.
So that was a question mark.
Okay.
And then he brought up Obamacare. And I said, yes, I was in favor of that. And then he was telling me why I really wasn't in favor of that.
You're against it.
Yeah. And then thankfully we came back from the break. So, we didn't get to gun control or things like that.
Death penalty, did you guys hit on?
We did not get to that either. So
okay, well, maybe he'll come in tomorrow on a Happy Friday show with some more political things that he thinks you guys do agree on.
Yes, and one major thing that he brought up in another break is that a major difference is that I'm an atheist and mm-hmm. he is not, so that could lead to other things that we disagree on.
Okay,
so you know. But really, honestly, I'm glad he left.
Yes, you don't want to be into some of the topics are too deep, like union pensions.
Yeah, it's
too involved. It's not like a yes or no, like death penalty, no death penalty.
And honestly,
guns,
like,
no guns.
He watches a lot more news than I do. I don't watch any. I get the treetops from the 1010 Winds at the top of the hour or 880 at the top of the hour. So I know if there's anything really big, I kind of know what's going on. But I really try not to pay attention to things on a detailed level. And, you know, my free time, I like to, you know, read about the Pleistocene epoch and, you know, the extinction of North American megafauna instead of diving into politics.
Right. Did you get your ballots yet?
I did, and we actually filled them out yesterday, and we're going to, instead of mailing them, we can go drop them off at the county clerk.
Yes.
At the municipal complex there on 27 in Edison. And at the same time, we can also pick up the free leaf bags. So killing two birds with one stone. So the ballots are filled out, and going to go drop them off and get some leaf bags.
Yeah, Gina also would like to drop our ballots off at a place like that, not put them in the mail.
Yeah.
She's seen too many news coverages about the misplacing mail and mailmen throwing out ballots, mail people opening ballots, this sort of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess there's a possibility. I mean, I'm sure it will happen that either people won't get the ballots, or once they've filled out the ballots, there'll be some problem. There will be some issues with that. So it's I for the most part, I think our postal service is pretty good for what they're asked to do. But I want to go pick up a leaf bag, so, you know, I'll just drop it off.
Do both things. And we don't have to go on voting day then and go into those machines.
Yes. And I got to tell you, though, when I was – I don't know if you filled out yours yet.
Yeah, I don't think I got mine yet unless it's sitting in my mailbox.
Oh, that's right. You were still waiting on getting it.
Yeah.
Maybe because your change of address, that could be an issue. You know, went to the old place or something like
that.
No,
I did check. Like, I checked online a couple weeks ago. It says, you know, check to make sure you're registered. And I checked, and I'm registered here. So I was good.
And you're both, you and Gina are both in Monmouth? She's not
Monmouth County.
Okay. So, So I don't have an explanation for you.
I haven't been to my mailbox in about 4 days. So,
well, that could be.
It could be in there.
I got mine, I think, last week. But I got to say, it was not as much fun doing it on the kitchen table as going into the booth and
clicking some things and going behind a curtain and feeling like something's going on over here.
Exactly. You know, me and the 87-year-old polling place volunteers who are there. So and a lot of those polling place people who man the polling place, at least by me, there are a lot of older people.
Yeah.
And they have obviously a higher risk with all this going on. So I don't know how they're going to handle that. I'm sure there'll be a large number of people who are going to show up to vote instead of doing the mail-in, but it was not as much fun doing it with a pen and on the kitchen table.
Did you get to get a sticker when you went to drop it off and pick up your mailbags, or no stickers?
We have not done that yet. We have.
Oh, you're doing that.
Yeah, we're going to do that. I think tomorrow we're going to go. Now, we filled them out yesterday, going to go down tomorrow to the county clerk.
Now, you say it wasn't as fun. And one thing I had asked Jerry, well, he hadn't looked at his yet, but Gina told me it was not as simple as she thought it was going to be to fill out. And she believes that many people, there are things on there that say if you don't fill this out right, nothing counts, blah, blah. Did you find it confusing at all?
Well, I read all the directions first, and there was, you know, you have to sign the front. There's one extra, like there's a piece of yellow paper I had to sign. And then there's things to do that if you're going to not be, like say if she took yours and went to drop it off, you know, because she had free time, you didn't, or whatever, then there's a whole bearer section where you have to prove that, you know, this person gave me permission to turn this in. So that, you know, that's a whole, like even my wife and I married and all that and same address. I can't turn hers in. She can't turn mine in. But yet if we mailed them, I think no problem. You know, you could just drop them in a mailbox. But otherwise, you have to prove that, you know, that you're the approved bearer of this and blah, blah, blah. And obviously, if you can't, for some reason, can't fill it out physically, you can't hold a pen or whatever, you know, arthritis or what have you, there's other things to, you know, other hoops you have to jump through to prove that. So, but if for 99% of people, it should be fairly intuitive. And it was fairly easy to fill out. You had all the, you know, column A, column B, and I think there were, in my county, there were three questions.
Anything interesting? Any fun questions?
Legalizing marijuana.
Oh, maybe. Oh, I wonder if you and Boomer agree on that.
Yes, I voted yes.
You voted yes, okay.
And then the, because you know what? People are going to smoke pot anyway, so why not have the state make some money off of it because they need the money.
That's a good point.
And take the money out of the pockets of criminals.
I think I'll vote for that too. Then that's you've just not that I needed to be swayed either way. I wasn't sure where I was voting with that, but that makes sense. I like that.
Yeah, because people are going to do it anyway, just like gambling. People are going to do it anyway, and the state finally got on board with, all right, let's make some money off this since it's going to happen anyway.
Right.
You know.
I also like the idea about legalized marijuana, and that I feel like you know what you're getting if you decide to smoke it.
Sure.
As opposed to, like, you're getting it off the street from somebody. You don't know where that came from.
Yeah, and it could be laced, you know.
Yeah.
Aside from the quality of it, if it, you know, could have some stuff in it that's nasty and bad.
Right. Okay, so you voted that one. And there any other fun questions?
Not fun. There was one that said, do you want to reduce or eliminate, or I think it was reduce property tax for veterans.
Oh, yeah.
And I said yes for that.
Yes.
Even if they're not like veterans of wars, you know, if they're just active but not, you know, haven't seen action. So I said yes for that. And then there was one other one, which I you know, I could not tell you at gunpoint.
Yeah. I like that one too. Yes, it was like lower property taxes for veterans.
Yeah, and then there was one other one, which
they
might
stop me from going into the military. I'm voting for that for them.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have to get drafted.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so yes. Vote me in for that one.
Yeah, but I forget the third question.
I think we get to vote for mayor of Bradley Beach also in this election.
Yeah, we did not have that. We just had the president. We had a senator. We had our representative. Then we had the school board and maybe sheriff, maybe. Oh, there's my phone now.
Oh, there's the aliens are here.
Spam.
Spam.
So, silence that.
And then what's this? The only thing I don't understand about like a state like New Jersey, they say it always votes Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why, like why it doesn't depend on the candidate. For certain states that are always red or always blue, like why is that?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's also not it maybe that is true historically for presidential elections.
Yes, for presidential.
But you know, we had Governor Chris Christie.
Right.
We had Christy Todd Whitman. You know, we've had Republican governors, but and I think in recent memory most of the senators have been Democratic. I know our congressman has been the same Democrat since I've lived there, which is now 30 years. I think that might be a generalization because if you remember, Reagan Mondale, I mean, Reagan won every state except I think Minnesota.
Oh, really?
In 1984.
Oh, really?
So
I did not know that.
It does depend, I think, on, you know, there's some instances where the candidate does matter. And, you know, I think in general, you know, New Jersey generally votes for the Democratic presidential candidate, but not exclusively.
Yeah.
And, you know, in 84, that's not that long ago.
No. It's in my lifetime.
Sure. I could not vote in that election. 88 was my first, but...
Yes, mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was against Mondale, you said?
I believe, yes. I don't know how Jersey voted Reagan Carter, but I know that was a landslide too.
Wow. How about this Ron Reagan dominating?
Yeah.
But it's weird that there's only like a couple of states that they say are swing states.
Mm-hmm. But also remember Reagan, you know, especially by today's standards, you know, he was, I guess, considered a conservative back then. But, you know, by today's standards, he's a moderate.
And then what is the theory behind, Jerry and I were trying to talk about this, neither one of us could figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
The Electoral College. I understand how it works. I don't remember why they have it, though. Like, what was their reasoning for that? It was explained to me once before, and it made sense, but I don't remember what the reasoning was.
Well, I think it goes back to states' rights, you know, way back the way they set it up, where if a certain state has a higher population, they don't want them to have undue influence because, 90% of humanity lives along the coast, east or west. You know, and our country is no different. So, you know, you could have, even though you could argue that, well, that's more of the people, they should have more say, but it goes back to states' rights and, you know, the value and power that they want each state in the union to have.
And they don't want, like, California, which has more people,
right,
dictating for the middle America.
Right, or New York, you know, and New York City, you know, dominates New York State. But, you know, I don't know if you broke it down how much of New York State outside of the New York City area, you know, would vote Republican as opposed to the city, which goes Democrat. So, you know, there's I guess there's reasons for it. But, you know, I can't, you know, I'm not a political science major. So actually I was, but believe it or not. But I don't know enough about it, but I think it really has to do with states' rights.
Yeah. And then Gina was telling me that they're not even sure, like, they're counting our votes unless they need to, whatever that means.
In terms of the, because of the,
I think mail-in ones, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if you drop your vote off at places where you and I are talking about dropping it off, they're counting it. They're not counting the mail-in ballots unless they have to.
In terms for the presidential election?
Yeah, for presidential.
Yeah, ultimately they'll have to count for all the state stuff and the questions on the ballot. But for to make a call on who won the state for the presidency, I would believe that's true. But I think ultimately they're going to have to look at all of them to see who's the mayor of Bradley Beach.
That's true. I'm still on the fence with this one. I don't know who I want to pick for mayor of Bradley Beach.
Yeah, but as you know from your study of statistics, you know, once they get a certain percentage,
you're right,
they can call a state.
Right.
But I think ultimately they will. And I just have to trust that things are going to be done correctly, at least for 98% of the vote. So,
right.
But the vote was very close. I think, you know, for the presidency last time, you know, Hillary did win the popular vote. But it wasn't by a million. It was by thousands. Now, she still didn't get more votes, but it was close. So I hope things are either it's so one-sided one way or the other that it doesn't matter if there's a little, you know, gray area with some of the votes. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
And they're already telling us that we're not going to know for quite a while. We're not going to know like we did with Trump Hillary the next morning.
Well, and it's been, we've known the next morning for, except for Bush Gore with the Chads in Florida.
The hanging Chads.
Yeah, and the whole thing. But, you know, we knew pretty quickly. It wasn't a week. But most other elections, it's, you know, for 99% of elections, you know, you have people make a acceptance or a concession speech that night, usually.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting. When's this, November 3rd?
Yeah. And I don't think Trump's going to be making concession speech anyway, even if he loses.
Right.
It'll be he'll tweet F you.
I kind of have a feeling this time around, because of the way we're voting, that if Trump wins, that Biden will also not concede yet. Because I think I don't think it will be a definite. You know what I mean? Like, I think,
yes.
He would, either candidate would have an argument for the way the voting was collected.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's shaping up to come down like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll keep it in the news for till Thanksgiving. Hopefully, let's just hope by the time we sit down alone without our families on Thanksgiving that...
that we know.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good point.
That's
right. Wow, yeah, because November 3rd is not far away.
Mm-mm.
I better check my mailbox.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And do you know where your county clerk is?
To drop it off?
Yeah.
Actually, there is no drop-off in Bradley Beach. I'd have to go to Asbury Park is the closest.
Yeah, but like wherever your county, like I'm going to my, you know, the Edison Municipal Complex.
Yeah. Yeah, I do know where I'm going.
Okay.
I did Google that.
All right.
Google it. All right, Eddie, that is the post-game podcast. I think we did that political talk without a slant.
Yeah, we did, and we talked politics for 20 minutes without Boomer.
Right, about the process of what's going on.
Yes, how you know, real people who don't watch Fox News or CNN.
from two people not watching the news.
Right, exactly. We're breaking it down because, you know, we don't watch anything. You know, I read articles about paleontology on the internet, and you
I'm reading mostly about like greyhound diet at this point.
Or viral videos.
Or viral videos, right. All right, well, let's do the warm-up show. I did that with CeeLo. We will see you tomorrow.
With CeeLo again, yes.
With CeeLo again. And, Eddie, might you have on your Yankee elimination shirt?
Oh, I don't want to touch the money, but I did take it out. First, I had to find it. So
okay.
Then I took it out, and I have it, you know, aside. But
all right.
I will not even, like, put it out as the next close day to wear.
Right.
Until I wake up at 1 o'clock and see what
transpired.
Sports Center tells me.
All right. Well, this would be going to be a very exciting
very
Friday
exciting.
Show. We will see you tomorrow. Soon.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. No guests, no calls, and no real content.
We've got very real content. Oh, hi there, Al Dukes here. Jerry is out today. Mr. CeeLo, I think, joins me. Are you there, CeeLo? CeeLo, come in.
I'm here, Al. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, hi, CeeLo. Where are you? You at the 345 Hudson Studios? I know there was some back and forth yesterday.
I am. I'm here. First time back since the blackout, so good to be here.
The blackout?
Yeah.
The summer blackout?
The summer blackout, that's right.
Well, the blackout of 1977, because that would have been a long time since you were last at the WFAN studios.
Yeah, I didn't have a heart that was pumping yet,
What year were you born, CeeLo? Give us an idea how old a fella you are.
I was born January 1986.
86. All right. So
just
I was a
in
senior
time
in high
for the
school.
Mets. Yeah, oh boy. Jeez. Good Lord.
So I was sitting at a lunch table talking to 86 Mets while you were being born, and here we are.
Getting ready for spring training.
Yeah, here we are all these years later, CeeLo.
And you attended my wedding. How about that?
I did attend your wedding. I think that might be... I only go to Long Island for weddings.
Well, mine was in New Jersey, but that's okay. You know I live in Jersey. Why would you think I got married
in
Long Island?
I feel like you married a Long Island girl.
I did not. I married a girl I went to elementary school with in New Jersey.
No wonder it took me so long to get there. I went via Long Island.
There you go.
Then back into New Jersey.
Took the roundabout way. Kind of like
all
me
right.
coming into work this morning, forgetting that the Holland Tunnel is closed.
Yes, that's
so all
closed.
All of a sudden, I was like, guess we're going north to the Lincoln and then coming back south.
Yes, you got to go give it
detour.
The run around. A little
Good
detour.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we did, last night, we did a Facebook Live, 6:30 to 7:30, me, Boomer, Geo. And people were mocking me because I sat here on this warm-up show and on the Boomer and Geo show saying that I felt Tanaka was not a big game pitcher. And then everyone was flashing up Tanaka's stats and look at Tanaka in the big games, Tanaka in the playoffs. He's got a 0.0 ERA. He's never allowed a hit in all his appearances. And then what happened last night, CeeLo?
Listen, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
That's not true.
Right? Well, what was the basis behind your argument? What was your support? Your
I'm not one of these analytics guys, CeeLo. I don't go to the book. I don't go to the binder. I don't go to Elias for stats. I don't go to baseballreference.com.
I go with the gut.
I've got a feeling for a guy. And to me, every time I would put a Yankee game on, this dude's giving up home runs early in the game and putting them in a hole.
It has become a problem in recent years. Long gone are the times we used to get excited for Tanaka Tuesday. And obviously this wasn't a Tuesday either, so you had the double whammy and it didn't work out.
Now, it took him a little while. I thought it would happen in the first inning or the second at the latest. It took him to the fourth inning.
Well, it almost happened in the first inning.
Yeah,
Judge makes that great catch. You know, I was thinking, hey, he struck out the first two guys. All right, here we go. And then all of a sudden, he started leaving his slider up in the zone, and they were ripping him all over the place left and right.
That was another guy said to Jerry. Go, every time I watch the Yankees Rays, this guy Choi is always smacking them around.
Yeah, and the Yankees
Jerry's
had
like,
him a couple years ago.
They did?
Yeah, briefly. Had a little cup of coffee with them. I think 2017, I want to say.
Wow.
And then he went
like
to the Rays, and now he kills them.
I like a guy who's a little overweight baseball player.
Now, would you consider him a little overweight or?
Well, I was being kind. Okay. I was saying I don't like a fat baseball player. Gotcha. I thought that would sound rude.
No. Hey, if he gets the job done, that's all that matters, right?
Right. He gets the job done against the Yankees, and you're right. He almost had that home run in the, was it the first inning?
Yeah, and Judge in the coming out of the shadows and the sun makes the catch up against the wall where it almost popped out of his glove.
Right, and I thought, okay, maybe that's the break Tanaka needed.
Yeah. You know what break would have been nice?
Which one would
that be? A called strike three and a strike him out, throw him out before he gave up the three-run homer, which TBS decided we don't need to show the replay until the next half inning. Wasn't important. We got to get another look at base cam to see what dirt looks like at the most zoomed-in level you've ever seen in your life.
They also they were superimposing an Utz logo on the mound to make it look like it was painted on the mound.
Yeah, nobody needs that.
And they kept getting it confused. Sometimes it would be in the middle of the, like in the first or second inning, there was an Utz logo in the middle of my TV screen while the pitching was going on.
The graphics were a little off.
Yeah, they were
they
a little
quite
off.
Get that lower third down, which is smack dab in the middle of the screen.
So he gives up the homer to Kiermaier in the fourth. How do you say that other fellow's name? A Rosarino?
Yeah, a Rosarino.
A Rosarino.
Yeah.
That guy's trouble as well.
He is the new Yankee killer. There's a couple guys in the Ray lineup, but I mean, this
Choi
guy
and this fella
is just absolutely tattooing them. It's crazy.
And now we're in an elimination game situation for tonight.
Yeah, with country boy Jordan Montgomery on the mound. I was was listening to his pregame press conference. It really inspires a lot of confidence for tonight's ball game.
Is he a dullard?
We've played some of his stuff on the show before. He is a dullard. Now, you could be a great pitcher and a dullard, but the problem with him is he's a dullard and he hasn't pitched in forever. So I'm not exactly confident. But as John Sterling would say, can't predict baseball. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Why wouldn't you throw Cole out there tonight?
Because he's only had 2 days rest.
All right. That seems like plenty.
Threw 105 pitches the other night, I think. Something
but this could be it. For today.
I understand.
Tomorrow is not guaranteed, CeeLo. And in baseball.
It is not. He last pitched Jordan Montgomery on Thursday, September 24th. So today is what? October 8th? Is that correct?
It is.
So we're talking about 2 weeks here. Not what you want.
Remember when the Mets first got Johan Santana and they were facing it was a regular season game, but it was like if they win, they're in, if they lose, they're out.
Uh-huh.
And Santana had just pitched. And he walked into whoever's office at the time and he said, "Give me the ball."
Whoever's office. Was it Jerry Manuel, maybe? I don't know. No, it would have had to been when they first got him. Okay.
When they first got him.
When they had the no hitter, it was Terry Collins at that point.
Right.
So. All right. And he said, "Give me the ball."
He went in there. He knew, you guys paid me all this big bucks. Mm-hmm. Give me the ball. We need to win this game.
Was it on 2 days rest, though? Coming off 105 pitches?
Most likely.
Okay. Let's not get
I'm just
facts.
Saying.
Let facts get in the way.
Cole should at least do that and hope, like, when he goes in there, goes, hope they don't take me up on this offer.
I mean, but, listen, like you said, there's no guarantee for tomorrow, so it's all hands on deck. So maybe if they get, like, in trouble early on and they're in a hole, maybe then they don't have a choice but to throw him out there for an inning or two. You never know.
And the Rays are starting what do they call that?
Yeah,
an opener?
It's an opener, yeah.
Ryan Thompson?
Yeah.
So then what, they'll just roll out 19 pitchers tonight against the Yankees?
Probably, something like that, you know, give or take four or five, yeah.
They're the ones who invented this, right?
Yeah, they are.
They're innovative.
They started the trend. They are. They're a very smart organization, and they know how to do these things. Other teams have tried to rip it off a little bit, as we saw with the Yankees the other night. It did not work out well in Game 2. It really backfired on them. But the Rays seem to know what they're doing.
Do you think that move with what the Yankees did with Devi Garcia and Jay Happ in the second game, do you think that ruined the mojo of the entire series?
No, I don't believe in the game-to-game mojo. I mean, they had their second-best pitcher on the mound last night, who, despite your gut feeling and the way he pitched in the first postseason game, does have a good track record of being a big-game pitcher, and he didn't get the job done. And the offense, outside of Giancarlo Stanton, has been anemic the last two games, and they're not putting enough balls in play. I don't think that has anything to do with how they handled the pitching in Game 2. So while it was frustrating, it's an easy thing to pick apart, whether it's Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman, the organization, there are other issues with this team right now, which is what put them in the 2-1 hole.
Did anyone ever take blame for that move on in game two?
No, of course.
Has anyone
not.
Come out and said, listen, yeah, I know you're all blaming Aaron Boone, but it was me. I'm Brian Cashman. Hi. It's my fault.
I have not seen anything of that nature. No.
Me neither.
And I don't think we ever will. Organizational decision. You get that in the NFL a lot. Every decision we make is an organizational decision. It's collaborative.
Right. It's very collaborative. Yeah. We have a big meeting. We get in a meeting with a really long table, and we all sit around it. We order food in, and then we make decisions.
Yeah. And Boone's got his whole staff. Forget Cashman in the front office. He's got his, you know, his lieutenants there. I think Carlos Mendoza is, I think, his bench coach. I heard him I was listening to Boone this morning on some of the cuts and refers to him as Mendy. All these guys.
Mendy?
Mendy. For Mendoza, Mendy. All these guys have nicknames. You can't just say Carlos. It's got to be Mendy.
And they all would just put an I, an I, E, or a Y at the end.
Joe Girardi was big on that. So I guess that trend has continued a little bit. And they're big on that in hockey as well.
So why hasn't this Jordan Montgomery pitched in a long time, you're saying? It's been 3 months, you said?
2 weeks, close.
2 weeks?
Yeah, because of the, you know, the end of season and then the time off and the wild card series. They only needed 2 games against Cleveland and then more time off before they started this series with the Rays out in San Diego. And then the next thing you know, it's been 2 weeks. So we'll see if he's sharp. I'm sure he's done some throwing on the side, but it's not like there are any, you know, minor league games you could go throw him in. They weren't going to send him to the alternate site because they had to all quarantine together to be in this bubble. So he last pitched Thursday, September 24th against the Blue Jays, and he was okay. 5 1/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 8 Ks. Pretty strong. You would sign up for that tonight.
So we got a short leash on this fella tonight?
You'd love to say that, but I mean, where are they going after him?
Exactly. Gary what about Cole? Debbie Garcia?
Yes, I would imagine you will see him at some point tonight if Montgomery goes short. If he gives them 5 or 6 innings, then you just go right into your... I mean, Aroldis Chapman hasn't thrown a pitch in the series yet, so he is well-rested.
We need him.
Zach Britton hasn't pitched since game one. He is well-rested. So they have some arms available, and you would think, like you said, there's no guarantee for tomorrow, so you got to pull out all the stops tonight.
So you would go, you would hope for... A Jordan Montgomery 6 innings.
I'd take 5.
5.
Give me
then
5 innings, 3 runs. I'm fine with that.
Then you go 3 runs. Then all right. Yeah. Then you go to who? Ideally, you go.
I go right back to Chad Green. He pitched one last night. Low pitch count. I would try to piece together the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th with the combination of Green, Britton, and Chapman.
Nice.
That's how I would play it.
That would be in your binder if you had a Yankee binder of how to attack this.
That's in my binder tonight.
Team.
And then you hand the ball off to the $308 million, whatever it was, in game 5 and say, there you go. Give us at least 7. It's all you.
Right.
And away you go.
Hmm. Well, I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right, too.
And this is a 7:10 start, another good an hour earlier than the first game 1.
Game 1 and 2 were the 8:10 starts. And then last night we got the 7:10. Tonight you got another 7:10 with 6:30 pregame on the Fan.
Man, oh man.
You'll be all right, Al.
Oh, I can handle it.
Yeah.
And then last night was also the Craig documentary on HBO.
Yes. I was trying to get through that throughout the course of this morning from the time I got up until we came on the air just minutes ago.
Oh, you were.
Because I figured
like
you would
DVR.
Bring that up, and I wanted to make sure that I was, you know,
well,
got to view it a little bit.
Yeah, I do think that the situation last night, it was competing against Yankee playoffs, although they were down a number of runs by the time 9 o'clock hit.
Yeah. You weren't exactly feeling comfortable once you got to the middle innings.
And then it was up against the vice presidential debate.
I watched none of that.
Me neither.
I mean.
I can't.
No.
Everyone knows who they're voting for already. You're not going to watch a debate and go, you know what? I was a Trumpster, but now I'm for this guy. Or
you're saying
I was
all
about
on the fence because we're so polarized as a nation that 0% of the population is on the fence.
There's no one on the fence.
You're probably right about that.
Right?
I'd imagine it's a very small number of people.
The fence is a wall.
Nice, Eddie.
And Mexico built it, Eddie. The wall.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, so that was a big competition. Although I think with things like documentaries on HBO and things like that, it lives on demand.
Yeah,
you can't really judge its success until for a week when people had time to view it
on demand. DVR, people are like, let me make sure I record that. I'll circle back to it when the playoffs are over, when the Yankees get eliminated, or I've got some time, an hour to spare here or there.
Right,
it's at your own leisure.
Yeah. I mean, I was in the documentary and I didn't watch it last night. I DVR'd it.
So you haven't seen it from start to finish. I figured
I did.
Oh, you
I did. Okay. I saw it. I saw a review copy.
I was going to say, I mean, you're in it. I would imagine you got an advanced look at it.
I got some nice positive reviews on Twitter at my @ mentions. Most people said I did a very nice job.
All the clips I've seen of you thus far came across very well.
And Eddie, I thought, was the best. The one clip which I had tweeted out yesterday, Eddie just talks about the show exploding and he just goes,
yeah,
and then puts his hands up in the air.
Mic drop.
Classic. Yeah, yeah, classic.
All you guys,
Eddie.
All you guys did great.
Oh, thank you.
Good stories you guys shared, very well delivered.
Yeah.
You guys were very comfortable on camera, as I would imagine you guys are in the radio TV business. So
very comfortable.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here, CeeLo. When we come back, we'll do a little more Yankees. We'll do a little NFL, Jets. I see coronavirus on my list here. I see Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama, and much more. Do you have? Do we have a spot here?
Negative.
Negative, negative. All right, Eddie, take it away. We'll be back very shortly. It's going to be so short.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Al and Jerry, this is the new normal.
All right, 5:24 here on The Fan on this Thursday morning. CeeLo sitting in for Jerry Recco here on the warm-up show, of course, alongside with Al Dukes. We got the Yankees facing elimination after losing to the Rays last night in San Diego, 8-4. This Randy Arozarena continues to kill them. He's homered in all three games. He's batting like .600 in the postseason, and he has become a thorn in the Yankees' side. We'll see if Jordan Montgomery and company can figure him out tonight and force a decisive Game 5, Al.
They should just walk that dude every time. Put him on.
Yeah, the problem is there's a bunch of other guys in the lineup that seem to have their number as well, and you can't walk everybody. So
I would walk him and Choi every time.
Get some guys out. Yeah, well, last night you had Kiermaier hitting a three-run homer. Oh. I mean, the freaking catcher out of the nine-hole homered and drove in three. I mean, the guy who basically hadn't played in like 9 days or something like that, they sat Zunino down. They put, I think Perez is his last name, or Perez, and he hits a home run. Opposite field off Chad Green. So everything working against the Yankees here the last couple of nights after they got off to that good start in Game 1.
I love this idea. I know it's because of coronavirus and it will never last, but this where you, why don't we play these playoff games in nice warm climates like San Diego?
Yeah.
But then like you do miss the atmosphere of like if that were a Yankee stadium. On the night when they were winning on Monday night and then the nights when they were losing, like you do miss that feel of the hometown crowd.
Yeah, the crispness in the air. Everyone's got the hoodies on, the hot chocolate, the beanies.
Yeah, but I don't like cold baseball.
Oh, all right. Well, you just said we miss it, didn't you?
No, I like the idea of like that they're playing in warm San Diego,
oh, okay,
beautiful
but you
weather.
Want the fans in the warm weather. I got you.
Yeah, but you do miss the home fans being in there.
Oh, so you're telling me the cardboard cutouts of the Padres season ticket holders aren't doing it for you?
Not doing it for me.
All right.
Not really. I did see that Trevor Bauer, they call it flirting with the Yankees on social media.
Uh-huh.
He tweeted, kind of looks like the Yankees could use some more starting pitching.
He's not.
Interesting.
He's not wrong about that.
Let's get him here.
The problem is, I think that Gerrit Cole is not a fan of his.
Oh, really?
I think there's some history there. I forget exactly what that was all about, but that would be an interesting dynamic because the Yankees certainly have a glaring need there, especially if they don't re-sign Tanaka. So, I mean, you hope Luis Severino comes back and can be healthy. Domingo Germán coming off the suspended list. We'll see what that's all about. I mean,
can he pitch tonight?
No, he cannot. He's not available until 2021. So
I saw I was like, oh, he's off the banned list.
Yes, but he's not eligible for the postseason because he was on, I guess, because he was on the suspended list and didn't play in any regular season games. So that's a 2021 thing. And so is the Trevor Bauer and the Luis Severino and all that good stuff. Tonight they got to figure out a way to get a couple of good innings out of Jordan Montgomery, keep the Rays off the board, and you know get the bats going again. Other than Giancarlo Stanton, who homered again last night.
Let me ask you this: as a Yankee fan that you are, what deficit in the fifth inning would be too much for you to think the Yankees are coming back to win. So the Yankees are down. How many runs in the fifth where you're not comfortable with that?
Not comfortable.
Yeah. Like if they're down one run in the fifth, you're like, no problem. Two runs, no problem. What's the run count where you go,
in the fifth? I would say five. You know, obviously at four, you know, you're not feeling great, but, you know, you get a rally together. You get a three-run homer or even a grand slam. It's possible. And all of a sudden, you're right back in the game or you've tied the game. Five when you're in the fifth. With the way the Ray bullpen performs, and most of those guys are pretty rested, especially after last night's game, that's a tall order.
Then let me ask you this. Also in the fifth inning, what lead are you very comfortable with as
none.
A Yankee fan?
No lead.
None?
No.
You got Aroldis Chapman. The guy's jacked up. He's going to be throwing heaters at dudes' heads.
He's become a guy that when he comes into the game, while he's still successful more often than he's not, there's usually a couple runners on base, and you kind of got to eke it out a little bit.
He makes you nervous.
He's not just coming in there pumping 101 by everybody, you know, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. It usually gets a little interesting.
Right.
And the bullpen in general has been disappointing this year. They have not pitched the way they have in years past. Zach Britton overall has been pretty good. Chapman's been spotty. Chad Green's been spotty. Ottavino's been terrible. So, yes, they have those guys lined up, and you take your shot with them, but it's not like you're going, you know, Nelson, Stanton, Rivera here. This is not the heyday.
Right.
So,
gotcha.
No, there's no lead where I'm going to feel comfortable.
Really?
So, they need to steal Gleyber Torres up six runs again and get Pedro Martinez all ticked off on the TBS postgame, that's fine by me.
No lead is a comfortable lead for Yankee fans.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's how I feel. Maybe other Yankee fans feel differently.
And then I feel like this kind of got lost yesterday because there was so much Yankee news that Joe Flacco starting for the Jets this week.
I think all Jet news gets lost because of
right.
the state
they're irrelevant right now.
Franchise. Yeah.
So this is due to the injury that Sam Darnold
the shoulder
suffered.
Sprain, yes.
Shoulder sprain. That they're going to give him a rest and put old Joe Flacco out there.
Yeah.
Who had zero energy when he came in the game the other day. I was so annoyed by him. He looked so uninterested in going in there.
Al, I've got news for you. That's how he's looked for his entire career.
Yeah, that's what Jerry said to me. Jerry said this is his look all the time.
Yes. He has, as far as, you know, body language and emotion go, he's got a lot of Eli Manning in him. I'll say it that way.
Yes, you're right.
Flatliner.
You know what? You're right. Flatliner.
He is.
He's not a rah-rah guy.
Another guy that has a Super Bowl ring, probably because he's got that even-keeled mentality. He's made a lot of bad throws in his career. He's had some ugly games, but he led the Ravens to a Super Bowl. And played very well in that postseason and got paid handsomely for it.
He's one of those guys with the rings that had awesome defense.
Of course.
Like the Brad Raven, Johnson of the Bucs.
Except Flacco played really well in that run. I'm not taking anything away from their defense, but he played very well that particular year.
Are you expecting
he's going to do it this time around with the Jets behind a banged-up offensive line?
Big things this week from Mr. Joe Flacco.
I don't expect any big things from the Jets the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Nor did I expect big things from the beginning of the season either.
You did not. No. But you did not see them sitting at zero wins right now.
I did not. In fact, at the beginning of the year, on one of these betting apps, you could bet the local teams and pick which week they were going to get their first win.
Oh, really?
So I looked at the schedule and I put down a wager for the Jets and the Giants. So for the Jets, I picked the week 4 Thursday night home game against the Broncos. And I mean, the Broncos gave them every chance to win that game and they couldn't get it done. So that one went by the wayside. For the Giants, I picked week 6 against Washington.
Okay,
so that one is still available, but I'm not feeling very confident about that one either.
Well, listen, they got Dwayne Haskins was benched.
Yes.
Not only benched, I think he was like sent to the alternate site. Well, he's not even like a backup.
Yeah, he's going to be deactivated I assume they're playing Sunday. This weekend, you have Kyle Allen backed up by Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins in, you know, street clothes on the sideline.
I want Alex Smith in there just so we get that redemption story from that ESPN documentary we saw about him.
You could very well see it at some point, right? He's one snap away from getting in there now.
Right. That's true.
The backup. In fact, I think he was backing up Haskins as well, so technically you could say that about every game Washington's played so far this year.
Now, the Dolphins and Brian Flores said, we don't feel Tua Tagovailoa is ready to start yet.
Yeah.
I always wonder this. Why would they feel that way about him, and yet Justin Herbert comes in and seemingly has it figured out?
That's a great question, Al.
Thank you.
I think all these, and Boomer obviously would be the one to answer better than I, but all these guys learn at different rates. They come from different systems in college. They're learning different systems and their respective NFL teams. What's the rest of the roster look like? Who's the quarterback that he's potentially replacing? In Justin Herbert's case, obviously Tyrod Taylor had a medical issue, so Herbert had to come in. But yeah, he's certainly looked the part. Mostly, there's been a couple of not so great throws here and there, but overall, he's been very impressive. Right. And that's the guy. If you go back to the pre-draft, people were kind of kicking dirt on a little bit. I don't think he's gonna. I'm not a believer. And all of a sudden, he steps in there and he looks great.
He really looks like a college kid, like, or a high school kid. He's got the messy hair. He's got pimples. Like, he just looks like so young.
Well, he is young. I think he's pretty. I mean, what is he, 22, 21?
I think he's 21 because I saw that, you know, when they were doing the Tom Brady.
Just Google it.
Most
you
of these
Google
guys
it.
Are pretty young when they come out.
Yeah.
He is 22 years old.
22.
Yes.
I like him. We like him.
Well, what's not to like right now?
Right.
He stepped in and, you know, kind of giving them a bit of a pulse. Now, I know they haven't, you know, won a ton of games, but he's made some big-time throws.
I would
and that is not a great offensive line that they sport out there with the Chargers either.
I would get nervous, like, if I'm a Dolphin fan and I see they don't want to put Tua out there. Like, what do they know that we don't know about this guy?
Right, especially when Fitzmagic is the guy, and he's obviously not the future, and he's the guy that continues to start.
Oh, he's the future, CeeLo. This guy's never retiring.
Never going away. He's going to play for all 32 NFL franchises before all is said and done. By the way, Eddie made a great point in my ear. Patty Mahomes set out. Pretty much his entire, I think he played week 17 when the Chiefs had a bye locked up when Alex Smith was their quarterback.
Touche, Eddie,
so,
touche.
You know, you never know.
Do you think in Ryan Fitzpatrick's home, where, you know, all these players like have memorabilia from their playing days and things, like he's got to have so many different team things on his walls.
I'm sure he has a jersey from each stop framed somewhere.
Right, he's got helmets. Yeah. Like in his basement.
The problem, though, is where does he live? The dude's a nomad. Like, he's changing. I mean, okay, fine. He's been 2 years in Miami now. But, I mean, they bounce around. I wonder if they have kind of a permanent home and then they just kind of move. I think, I want to say he has a house in Arizona. I could be dead wrong about that.
That's where I want
but
a house, Arizona.
He has bounced around quite a bit.
And then he's telling me he's got like a ton of kids. Let me see.
I think he has six now.
You can't be moving these kids all over the place.
Well, they do because if you see anywhere he goes and he's a very affable guy. He's fun loving. He likes to have fun before and after, during the games, after the games. His family's always, his kids are always there wearing his jersey for whatever team he's playing for.
Really?
So I'm not saying they pull them out of school and just keep moving, but they make it to a lot of the games.
He has seven children.
Seven now. Okay. And I remember that from, he was with the Jets towards the tail end of when I was covering them. And, you know, training camp practices would end and his whole crew was there. They'd come out on the field. He'd run around with them. So, I mean, they're there. I don't know if they're living with him full time during the season, but they were at least making visits.
I'm at the Wikipedia part of Ryan Fitzpatrick where it says personal life.
Yeah.
He never removes his wedding ring, including during games.
That's you see it. And he doesn't, and it's not one of those, you know, rubber silicone knockoffs.
Oh, no.
It's the legit thing.
I like the dudes that wear like the full on chains around their necks, running backs. Like, how is that not going to get? Well, they were saying like when Cam Newton was complaining, they were trying to rip his chain off.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing your chain in a game?
I don't know. Some of these guys are they have very strong ties to their jewelry.
Yeah, they do love jewelry. So like athletes love jewelry.
They do, but
they love tattoos and jewelry.
Yeah, but I mean, the jewelry you can have, like we're asking you to just maybe not wear it for 3 hours. I think you could probably get by with that. And it's probably safer. There's nothing to grab on. If you got a sharp piece in there, hopefully it doesn't like stab you in the chest. That wouldn't be good.
All right, CeeLo, quick break here. I've got Jerry and I do something called Buzz No Buzz.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a Buzz No Buzz for you on the other side of the break.
I look forward to that.
Nice.
Al and Jerry, social distancing before it was cool.
All right, 5:42 Thursday morning. CeeLo sitting in for Jerry Recco here on the warm-up. Of course, you got Boomer and Gio coming up at the top. A lot to discuss. The Yankees with back-to-back losses all of a sudden now facing elimination tonight against the Rays in the division series out in San Diego, and they will send young Jordan Montgomery to the mound fresh off a nice two-week layoff. Dude hasn't pitched since late September, and he is going to start tonight's elimination game, hoping to get the Yanks at least a chance to let their offense get going and get themselves back into the series. Buzz, no buzz. Right, Al, what do you got for me here?
I got a buzz, no buzz for you. CeeLo, the way this works is I give you a topic or a statement or something going on in the sports world, which I see some people making a big deal out of, and you tell me whether there is buzz on this, like people are going to talk about this, this is something interesting, or no buzz, which is nobody cares.
Boring.
Buzz, no buzz. LeBron James will be the new Wheaties box athlete taking over for Serena Williams.
For me, that's a major no buzz.
No buzz.
I have no interest in that whatsoever. Good for LeBron. Added to the list.
The Wheaties box used to be, and this is going back a long time, this is before 1986 when you were born.
It was a big deal. I remember, that. Yeah,
you'd be on the Wheaties box. Then Bruce Jenner was on the Wheaties box. You would get, I think I remember Dan Marino being on the Wheaties box.
Michael Jordan, for sure.
Oh, Michael Jordan being on the Wheaties box. The USA hockey team that won that thing where there's, oh, I can't believe it. What? They got the Wheaties
thing?
Box.
The Miracle on Ice?
The Miracle on Ice thing. They got the Wheaties box. I wouldn't have even known that Wheaties had an athlete on the box anymore.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've even seen one. You know what I do have in my possession? Not a Wheaties box. But remember when Jeter had his own box of cereal, like Jeter Flakes or something like that?
You have Jeter Flakes?
I have an unopened box of that somewhere in storage that when I was a kid and I loved Jeter and that came out, I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this. Someday it's going to be worth a lot of money. Not so much.
And Al, remember that very nice listener sent me a Marino, a signed Marino's Wheaties unopened box.
Signed?
Which is actually
that's
in the
definitely worth something.
In the office.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. Is it in plastic?
Well, it's in a Ziploc bag, so yes, I guess.
Very nice.
Yeah, people used to, like sports collectors, card collectors, used to collect the Wheaties boxes unopened and put them in plastic.
I believe it. Like these people that collect the, you know, the action figures and stuff and never take them out of the box. Like Steve Carell in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Right. Bobby
Dwyer.
You got any
of those in your house, Al?
I do not have any of those in my house, but Bobby Dwyer collects wrestling figures, but he takes them out of the box to display them. He's like, I'm not going to be, he's not looking to make money on these figures. He likes to display them, him
just
and his
display,
boys.
Or do they play with them? I'd imagine he's got boys, they're playing with those action
figures. Yeah, I think
so
too.
Yeah, yeah. The Wheaties box. You know, it was big when I was in elementary school. We used to collect. We'd walk around with little binders and put them into the protective sleeves. The milk ads. Remember those being big for a little bit?
Milk ads?
Milk ads, yeah. Got milk? You don't remember those?
Yeah, I remember them.
Yeah,
like magazines?
Yeah, yeah. And they'd have, you know, you would try to collect all the different ones because they'd have celebrities and a lot of athletes that would pose. You'd do a photo shoot with the milk mustache. Got milk.
So somewhere you have a binder in your house.
I mean, I don't have that anymore, but I remember, I want to say that was probably when I was in sixth grade. So I would have been like 1997, somewhere in there, 97, 98. That was a big deal for a while.
I wasn't even sure that they're still selling Wheaties. Like when you go down the cereal box aisle now, it is an insane amount of
a lot of options.
Items.
Yes.
And now it's just like things like that are cookies or something turned into a cereal, like Oreos cereal. Chocolate chip cookie cereal.
100% right.
And I remember Wheaties was so big, SNL, the original SNL, Belushi and all, they did a parody where right after Jenner, they had Belushi like winning the decathlon, you know, all heavy running around.
Drinking beer, smoking cigarettes.
Well, that's why his cereal was donuts. Sitting there with donuts and smoking
that.
A cigarette.
Yes, that was funny. Yes, you're right.
Tremendous.
I forgot about that.
I go right to the aisle. I still get my Cheerios. Cheerios is the one thing that you will enjoy from the time you are a baby. Like when you had babies, they would eat Cheerios.
Sure.
Adults eat Cheerios, and when you get old, you eat Cheerios.
Now, do you just get the plain regular? What are we doing? Multigrain, apple cinnamon, frosted.
I do plain.
Plain, of course. You're a plain kind of guy.
Plain Cheerios.
Plain with milk. That's it. A little banana in there.
Yeah, like a banana in there. I don't think there's any harm in putting a little bit of a flavored Cheerio in there.
I would hope
I just try to stay away from the sugars.
I know, I understand.
the sugars.
So what now? You're regular milk? Or are you one of these areas? Soy milk, almond milk?
Almond milk.
Full almond milk for cereal. Not just, hey, I'm going to mix a little almond milk in my coffee here.
Full on almond milk.
I'm mixing a full bowl of almond milk with my cereal.
And now will you go Cheerios or Furios?
No, I get the name brand Cheerios.
Not going for the knockoff.
And I'm not going for any soy milk because Chris Sims, when he would fill in for Boomer,
sure,
he used to bring in like a Kashi cereal and drink soy milk with it or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he told us it was affecting his manhood.
Yes.
So I'm out for any soy
products.
Soy,
that's why, you know, I like edamame, but you can't be having too much of that too regularly or it becomes a problem.
It becomes a problem.
Boneless.
You're boneless. You don't have that problem with almond. Loss of bone. Bone on bone action.
Yeah.
All right, what else do I have for you here? Interesting in going on in Florida. I don't know what goes on down in Florida. We always read, of course, stories about crazy people in Florida. But the Dolphins have gotten the okay.
Yeah.
To fill their stadium with 65,000 people.
Tremendous. The league governor is like on the verge of a shutdown potentially. Yeah, go ahead. Fill it up.
The governor has given them the okay for their next home game. Now, the Dolphins say they're still only going to put 13,000 people
in there.
To their
credit, they're like, no thanks. We're good for now. Appreciate
it. But the governor of Florida is like, 65,000 people? Good to go.
No problem. Approved.
That seems strange.
Wow. There's a lot. Like, as you pointed out, it's almost like, I got to be careful here. I don't want to say they're a different country down there or anything, but they're certainly operating under a much different set of rules than the better part of the nation. Is that fair to say?
In Florida?
Yeah.
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 I remember when the whole thing started, like, because I still have many friends in Florida from when I worked in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Many?
And a handful.
Good point.
Not three people. Well, I see people on, like, Facebook. And they'd be like, first of all, they were like, oh my gosh, we have to shut down. Meanwhile, we had been shut down for like 2 months. And they're like, oh, I can't believe we got to shut down. And then I felt like 2 weeks later, they were like, oh, thank God we can go back out and eat inside restaurants. Like, right. Wow, you guys shut down late and shut down for 2 weeks? That's it?
They took the express track through coronavirus.
Yeah, and you're right. The NFL chief medical officer said that he's not ruling out a pause in the action this season.
I mean, how can you rule it out right now? I get that they're going to do everything they can to avoid it, but I mean, you've got these positives popping up in multiple spots now.
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
And they don't have the schedule flexibility that Major League Baseball
Shut it down!
All right?
Shut it down, CeeLo. The scallops are raw. You've burned the risotto. Shut it down.
I mean, Stephon Gilmore, he's, you know, dapping up Patty Mahomes after the game the other night.
That's going to be a problem.
The Titans are doing covert practices when they're supposed to not be together off-site. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on all of a sudden here.
That photo I saw yesterday of Gilmore right in Mahomes' grill after the game, talking so close like they were sharing secrets. Patrick Mahomes got to be nervous.
I mean, I guess. He called it a lapse. I guess. But
mental lapse.
But again, in the moment, I mean, they all tested negative. They were cleared to play. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
These guys are up close together. Whether it's your own team or your opponent, when you're out on the field, I mean, it's not like these guys are all going to keep their distance playing a football game. So at that moment in time, why would they have any reason to think, you know, there was an issue? So it stinks, but I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like any of them did anything necessarily wrong in that spot.
Right. Oh, this is perfect timing then for the Amy Lawrence Sports Minute. Oh. She explains why shutting it down would be a bad idea.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, 5:57 Thursday morning, warm-up show wrapping up. We get Boomer and Gio in just a couple of minutes. Yankees lose to the Rays last night, 8-4. They're down 2-1 in the ALDS. Face elimination tonight with Jordan Montgomery on the mound. We will have pregame coverage on The Fan beginning at 6:30, Al.
CeeLo, where do you think Yankee fans' confidence level is right now?
Very low.
You do?
Mine is low. I know JJ's is low. He spoke about that at length on the overnight. I don't think the confidence level is very high.
So you think the calls today... Because it's, you know, you don't really get calls to talk radio when things are going well.
Right.
Like after the big win Monday night.
Yeah, everything
not a
was
ton
great.
Of calls.
Not
everything
much
is
to
great.
Say.
People not happy, after Tuesday night's game with the flip gimmick they did too with Devi Garcia, J-Hap.
Yep.
And now with this situation and then coming into tonight's game with Jordan Montgomery and not a big-name pitcher, very low.
I would say 80-20 for the calls 80-20. Today. 80-20? Yeah, that would be my guess.
Where are you at? Are you 80%
loss? I'm saying I think 80% of the calls will be negative. We're in no confidence. And then you'll have a couple people that are trying to find the glasses half full outlook.
We need a breakout game from someone tonight. Who can it be? Who can be the unsung hero?
Jordan
tonight?
Montgomery would be a great place to start.
No.
Aaron Judge has got to get redemption. Going. Yeah, he's had a rough pro season. Him and Luke Voit need to contribute tonight.
Yes, we need Luke. We need the milk drinking, and that guy don't drink almond milk.
No.
Right? Gio said when we first met this Luke Voit, he looks like a guy who drinks milk. He's drinking whole milk. We need him to start hitting. We need the other milk drinker.
Gleyber Torres needs to start hitting.
Right.
Urshela.
Meanwhile, we got a Giancarlo Stanton, who we mocked all year.
Yeah, who would have thought?
He's the only one getting her done.
Didn't even think he'd be playing. Done. Here he is, and he's basically carrying the offense on his back. Him and Aaron Hicks, that's it.
I put the team on my back. And good news, you heard that Eddie Van Halen passed away. I mean, that's not good news, of course.
Right.
But Sammy Hagar says that he and
the Yanks need a victory tonight to keep their ALDS series alive.